You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
We need to review this whole notion that diplomacy and development go hand in hand together. Let's admit they are very, sometimes they're very different objectives that go exactly contrary to each other. So it's an illusory and nice notion to say that in terms of foreign aid, since diplomacy and development go hand in hand, there should be no problem.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, corruption in governance.
Government corruption is costly to any nation, both in political and economic terms. According to the Worldwide Governance Indicators Report, the problem is pervasive. Corruption can fester for years, and as in the case of Libya, often begins with a Faustian bargain, says senior fellow Daniel Kaufman. Daniel, there is the Faustian bargain, a relationship between a government that's very often corrupt and another country that's giving it foreign or developmental aid. This is clearly something that we're seeing in Libya. Explain it for me, please.
The Faustian bargain, which refers to Goethe's Faust, and it's the pact with the devil, right? And the pact with the devil in this case had two important dimensions in this particular case, and one was the access to oil, and that's why the Gaddafi has been treated totally differently over the years in recent times than somebody like Mugabe in Zimbabwe, who has had also awful policies and leadership and governance, and the way that country has gone downhill is enormous. But he did never had oil, so became a pariah in the international community. Not so with the case of Gaddafi. So one can even compare that and see that. But the other dimension was very important in foreign policy, was basically the incentive that was given to Gaddafi to basically renounce to terrorism, to international terrorism, and to the pursuing the bomb and so on. And that also played a role.
Well, there is the Worldwide Governance Indicators Report, which tells us how well countries are governed. What do the latest findings of this report tell us?
Over the past decade, there's been a major deterioration in the quality of voice and democratic accountability, so what we call the democratic governance deficit in the Middle East. So what came as a shock and as a surprise to many Western analysts, it was very clear in the data. It just that many turned a blind eye. So there have been parts of the world, and there have been countries where there have been major deteriorations in certain dimensions of governance, like voice and democratic accountability. In other countries, corruption has increased significantly. There are countries like Zimbabwe where in all dimensions there have been a major deterioration, or in Venezuela.
Daniel, one of the key indicators in the most recent WGI told us that there would likely be unrest among young people in the Middle East and in North Africa. So why weren't preemptive steps taken to address the needs of this population before the turmoil that we're now seeing?
It's incredibly difficult to make predictions about when major instability erupts in a country. Particularly the timing of when that happens is very important. However, we should have pointed, everybody should have pointed to the fragility of these places rather than saying these places are stable for the long run. Until very recently, many very important reports, Economist Intelligence Unit, Newsweek, Time, were saying that Egypt was very stable, that Libya was very, very stable. If those numbers were taken seriously, then the kernel of instability was there. It's exactly what you said. It's a combination of democratic governance deficit, which was not only very large, but growing over the past decade, and we were turning a blind eye.
Part of the problem is that many of these corrupt governments are still getting millions of dollars in foreign aid. Why continue to feed the monster?
One is the issue of reviewing the whole issue of how aid is given and aid selectivity. That doesn't apply that much to Libya, because there were other interests there, was investments and so on, right? But certainly in the case of Egypt. So much more selectivity, in terms of countries, when one says no, and when one says not to government, but provides aid to non-governmental sector, and also more support to private sector. But also which sectors one gets involved, much more selectivity in that sense.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the Faustian bargain, but there's also state capture, which involves multinational corporations and their influence on governments. Explain that, please.
The corporate elite influencing through payoffs, bribes, but other favors and other means through their power, their policies, laws, regulations and concessions of the country. So they influence the institutions of the state. This happened in Wall Street in terms of the banks vis-a-vis the regulators and vis-a-vis the government, sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle. So it's not unique to India. It's not unique to one part of the world. And it happens also in Latin America, in my own continent. And we have seen it in the case of the Middle East at the international level in terms of how diplomacy and the interest of multinationals are integrated together when they are these vested interests.
Clearly, there is a relationship between good governance and a healthy, productive country. Explain that for me, please.
A country that improves through hard work, leadership, and policies and reforms improves their control of corruption in a non-trivial way, working really hard, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and their rule of law and other dimensions of governance. In the long term, takes a long time, in the long term, their income per capita goes up 3 times. We are seeing it in a number of other countries. We have seen it in the Koreas of this world and a number of countries now, including in Africa. There's a set of a dozen plus countries that are showing the way of the art of law, of what's possible in improving governance. Well, unfortunately, there are others going in the exact opposite direction.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, or iPhone, go to brookings.edu/mobile.